This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris. You're listening to The Morning Run. I have with me Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh. We have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York, to take a look at global markets, particularly the fact that US stocks declined overnight while the dollar hit a two-week low. So, Joe, now we also note how Chinese stocks hit the lowest point in almost 4 years. Do you see this as a healthy correction or a sign to get out of equities?
Well, if you're not in equities, now is the time to start thinking about adding your exposure for U.S. Stocks, and particularly Chinese stocks are extremely cheap here. I would just emphasize that there's good fundamentals economically and earnings-wise in the United States that I think are going to carry through and pull the market ahead. So we're not panicking. We're looking opportunistically to put some more money to work in U.S. equities and emerging markets, China included.
But, Joe, when you cite those good fundamentals, are you seeing that in the earnings season that's ongoing right now?
Well, it's still early. You know, the banks did relatively well. I think as we go deeper into the earnings and you get into sectors, whether it's healthcare, defense, industrials, you're going to see good earnings. You know, a lot of it will be top line driven. Some will be corporate tax reforms, bringing some money to home. But the earnings backdrop is pretty robust. Now, is it going to be as robust a year from now? No. High single digits next year. Maybe that's the market's looking. I think the market's kind of like sensing that we're at peak growth, peak earnings. We got some more upside for interest rates, and that's what's kind of causing this pullback. But it's more, I think, more not based on economic fundamentals, just kind of like where we've come from in the last 8-9 years.
And Joe, still on global equities, look, for much of this year, the story has been a divergence between U.S. stocks and global equities, right? Mm-hmm. But now it looks like they're all moving in tandem here. So do you think this convergence is this year to stay?
No, I don't, because I do think, we've seen the U.S., its outperformance has dramatically narrowed in the last couple of days relative to the rest of the world. But the United States, I still think, is going to grow by 4% in the next, in the fourth quarter, had a good head of steam in the Q1. While China is slowing, the EU is slowing, our economy is, roaring along, consumption, capital investment, fiscal stimulus. So I think our U.S. will maintain that outperformance over the next couple of months or quarters.
Joe, in the past, you've helped us make sense of tensions between the U.S. and China, Europe, Mexico, or Canada. And now things seem to be heating up between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. President Donald Trump has threatened stern action against the kingdom over the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Is this something you're watching closely?
In the sense of oil prices, sure. I mean, you have to watch it very carefully. Saudi Arabia, one of the largest oil producers in the world, as you know and listeners know. So we got to be very cognizant of oil being used as a weapon for any reason, whether it's Russia, whether it's Saudi Arabia. I'm not looking for any huge disruption in the energy markets interrelated to the tensions between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. I don't think the markets are looking for that either.
But, Joe, if Saudi Arabia is true to its word, it's vowed that it's going to hit back at any punitive measures. You mentioned oil being used as a weapon. How likely is that? Could we see a risk of the same thing happening back in the 1973 oil embargo?
Well, the big difference then and now versus then is that the United States is the largest oil producer in the world. So we just surpassed Russia and Saudi Arabia. So we're a big producer as well in our own right. If we were back in a decade ago when our oil production was like 6-7 million barrels a day versus 11-12 million barrels a day, it's a different story. So I don't think Saudi Arabia wants to go down that path. I mean, they're oil dependent. The United States economy isn't. We do a lot of other things other than produce oil. So I think there's a lot of bluffing going on, a lot of diplomatic tensions. But I'm not looking for anything that's kind of a blow over. And remember, if we get the oil prices to $100 for whatever reason, that creates its own stress and strain on the oil complex, which is, in the end, produces downside.
Do you think that's likely, though, $100 per barrel?
No, because we've absorbed the losses of Venezuela, Libya, Iran. So, no, because the U.S. continues to produce at a very historically high rates.
So, Joe, if that's the case, if that's your outlook, what do you think oil markets are missing here? Because I'm looking at WTI, it gained, well, it's holding steady above $70 a barrel, $71.78 to be exact. Where else, and that's a gain of about 0.6% from Monday. Where I was looking at Brent futures, it also gained about 0.4% above that $80 mark. So, what do you think oil markets are missing here? Are they just overcompensating for some of the rhetoric coming out of the kingdom and also out of the White House?
Yeah, I mean, the tensions itself obviously create, you know, kind of upward bias. But also remember, you know, global demand is okay. It's not great. I mean, you know, we're at peak in terms of global GDP. So, you know, there's a lot of demand out there. Japan's doing fine. Europe, as I said, growing by 2%. So I think, you know, it's emblematic of a healthy global economy. On the demand side, it's being missed. So we need all the production we can get.
Joe, quick check-in on Europe. Brexit talks, that has hit a stalemate, and there are concerns over Italy's budget. Looking at this, what's your overall take on Europe at the moment?
You know, Europe's disappointing to the German elections in Bavaria, we saw there. Not too friendly to Merkel. You know, Europe is a stock-picking market, so you want to own French luxury goods, you want to own you know, Swedish robotics manufacturer, capital goods in Germany. You know, Italian high-end fashion as well. So healthcare companies, Switzerland. It's a stock-picking market, and I do think Brexit's going to add more stress and strain out of the currency, pound and euro.
Well, then, speaking about political risk, let's move away from Europe and move to the U.S. Look, Joe, we are less than a month away from those midterm elections. Should investors start pricing in political risk? Have you started pricing in political risk in the U.S.?
We looked at very carefully in portfolios, but you know, our kind of like base case is that the Democrats do take the House. You've got divided government. You've gotten really no big packages coming from the executive branch. I think that's being priced into the markets here. Remember, the economy's firing on all cylinders. You know, we got good consumption, investment, exports, and a fiscal stimulus. So really, if Washington took a break for 2 years because of a divided government, I don't think it's a big deal for earnings or the economy.
So having said that, Joe, any tweaks to your near-term overall asset allocation strategy?
We are starting to look very carefully based on valuations, putting some more money to work into the emerging markets. I mean, particularly for our investors that have a long-term horizon, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. You know, the emerging markets, you know, as everyone knows, lag tremendously behind U.S. So we're getting, you know, we love the United States. We like our position, but, you know, overseas, we see some valuations that look quite attractive, emerging markets and otherwise.
And that's even though the IMF has just cut the global growth forecast for the next 2 years. You're still okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be more policy specific. I mean, it's based on the valuations. You know, really, I mean, the IMF did cut their global growth outlook, but relatively speaking, it's still a very constructive backdrop, you know, relative to, say, just 2013, 14, 15. What they've got penciled in for 19 and 20 is much better than what we've been accustomed to. So not worried really about that.
Joe, thank you so much for sharing your insights this morning. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Now, just in a few minutes, we're going to continue our look at the Khazanah Research Institute's report on the state of households 2018, this time on the widening household income disparity. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.